Chapter 1. Meeting the Americans. When Mr. Hiram B. Otis, the American minister, bought the estate of Canterville Chase, everyone told him he was doing a very foolish thing because the place was haunted. Indeed, Lord Canterville himself, who was an honest man, had felt it his duty to mention the fact to Mr. Otis when discussing the sale.
"We have not wanted to live in the place ourselves," said Lord Canterville, "since my great aunt was frightened into a fit, from which she never really recovered. Two skeleton hands touched her shoulders as she was dressing for dinner, and I feel bound to tell you, Mr. Otis, that the ghost has been seen by several living members of my family, as well as by a priest. After the unfortunate incident with my great aunt, none of our younger servants would stay with us, and Lady Canterville often got very little sleep at night because of the mysterious noises that came from the hall and the library."
"My lord," answered the minister, "I will take the furniture and the ghost. I come from a modern country where we have everything that money can buy. With all our energetic young fellows painting the town red in the old world and carrying off your best actors, I think that if there were such a thing as a ghost in Europe, we'd have it in America in a very short time in one of our museums or in a traveling show."
"I fear that the ghost does exist," said Lord Canterville, smiling. "It has been well known for 3 centuries, since 1584, in fact, and it always makes its appearance before the death of any family member."
"Well, so does the family doctor, for that matter, Lord Canterville. But there is no such thing, sir, as a ghost."
"You are certainly American," answered Lord Canterville. "And if you don't mind a ghost in the house, it is all right. Only you must remember that I warned you."
A few weeks after this, the purchase was concluded, and the minister and his family went down to Canterville. Mrs. Otis was a very attractive middle-aged woman, with lovely eyes and a fine profile. Many American ladies adopt a sloppy appearance on leaving their native land, under the impression that it is a form of European fashion, but Mrs. Otis never fell into this error. She had a wonderful character and a great amount of spirit. Indeed, in many respects, she was quite English and was an excellent example of the fact that England had everything in common with America nowadays, except, of course, language. The Otis's eldest son, named Washington by his parents in a moment of patriotism, was a fair-haired, rather good-looking young man. Even in London, he was known as an excellent dancer. Otherwise, he was extremely sensible. Miss Virginia E. Otis was a lovely young girl of 15, with a fine freedom in her large blue eyes. She was a wonderful horseback rider, and had once raced old Lord Bilton on her pony twice around the park, winning by a length and a half. The Duke of Cheshire, who happened to be watching, proposed marriage on the spot, and was sent off back to school that very night by his parents in floods of tears. After Virginia came the twins, who were usually called the Star and Stripes. They were delightful boys and, with the exception of the minister, the only true Republicans of the family. As Canterville was 7 miles from the nearest railway station, Mr. Otis had sent a telegraph for a small wagon to meet them. It was a lovely July evening, and the air was delicate with the scent of the woods. Now and then they heard or saw birds along the way. Little rabbits hurried away with their white tails in the air. As they entered Canterville Street, however, the sky became suddenly filled with clouds, and a mysterious silence grew over them. A great flock of black birds passed silently over their heads, and before they reached the house, some big drops of rain fell. Standing on the steps to greet them was an old woman, neatly dressed in black and white. This was Mrs. Umney, the housekeeper. Following her, they passed through the fine hall into the library, a long, low room with a large stained glass window. Here they found tea prepared
and after taking off their coats, they sat down and began to look around, while Mrs. Umney waited on them. Mrs. Otis caught sight of a dull red stain on the floor just by the fireplace, and, unaware of the house's history, said to Mrs. Umney, "I am afraid something has been spilled there."
"Yes, madam," replied the old housekeeper in a low voice. "Blood has been spilled on that spot."
"How horrible!" cried Mrs. Otis. "It must be removed at once."
The old woman smiled and answered in the same low, mysterious voice,
"It is the blood of Lady Eleanor de Canterville, who was murdered on that very spot by her own husband, Sir Simon de Canterville, in 1575. Sir Simon survived her by 9 years and disappeared suddenly under very mysterious circumstances. His body has never been discovered, but his guilty spirit still haunts Canterville. The bloodstain has been much admired by tourists and others and cannot be removed."
"That is all nonsense," cried Washington Otis. "Pinkerton's best stain remover will clean it up in no time."
And before the terrified housekeeper could interfere, he had fallen upon his knees and was rapidly scrubbing the floor with a small stick of something. In a few moments, the bloodstain could not be seen.
"I knew Pinkerton would do it," he exclaimed proudly, as he looked around at his admiring family.
But no sooner had he said these words than a terrible flash of lightning lit up the room. A crash of thunder made them all jump, and Mrs. Umney fainted.
"What a terrible climate," said the minister calmly as he lit a cigarette. "I guess the old country is so full that they do not have enough decent weather for everybody. I have always been of the opinion that emigration is the only thing for England."
"My dear Hiram," cried Mrs. Otis, "what can we do with a woman who faints?"
"Charge it to her like breakages," answered the minister. "She won't faint after that."
And in a few moments, Mrs. Umney certainly came to. There was no doubt, however, that she was extremely upset, and she sternly warned Mr. Otis to beware of trouble coming to the house.
"I have seen things with my own eyes, sir," she said, "that would frighten anyone, and many a night I have not closed my eyes in sleep for the awful things that are done here."
Mr. Otis and his wife, however, warmly assured the honest soul that they were not afraid of ghosts.